Good morning. Let's take out our blue hymnals. Sing song number one. Song number one.
Thank you.
found some readings regarding the text for today, so I'd like to start with a short prayer. God of all knowledge, love, understanding, and compassion, give us an inward desire to know you more each day. Reveal to us your perspective on the world in which we live. Teach us to love our neighbors, to care for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to care about truth, peace, and harmony in the world. Then may we live in confidence that you can and will work through in this world through us, who are your people. We praise you, Almighty God. Hallelujah. Please join me in reading number 726 in the blue hymnal. 726. Gracious and eternal God, we thank you for the bonds of love we share within your church. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who has joined us into one living body. Enable us by your Spirit to walk together in unity of love and purpose, to help one another by work and example, to live in faithful obedience to your will. By the justice and mercy we show one another, may your name be praised, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Turn please to number 26. 26, Holy Spirit, come with power. Good morning and welcome to our worship service this morning. I was given the name of some guests. Staying with Albert and Alma is Neil Miller, stationed in Tanzania as Conservation Agriculture Officer with Canadian Food Grains Bank, and is in town for meetings and visitations. Welcome here. Anybody else like to introduce anybody? Welcome to the first Sunday in summer. Hope everybody's happy. If you'd like to turn your announcements with me. Starting with number 7, it's summer. So even though you're on vacation, we encourage you to keep giving. In a couple of weeks is the Mennonite Church Assembly. And so We have a couple of delegates that are going. Other people are welcome to go. And there's even a large church service that some may be interested in attending. Number four, the caregiving ministry is looking for other people that may be interested or willing to participate in that program. Please give it some prayerful consideration. Next Sunday, Missions Choir will be singing. It'll be a long weekend, so anybody that can come out, please do. And the first page, we have lots of people that are in care. Please continue to think for them, think about them. And also, condolences are extended to Mary and John Gunther and the family in the passing of Elizabeth Liza Maven, age 92, in Balder, Manitoba, on June 2nd. That is Mary's sister. We extend our sincere sympathies and pray for God's comfort upon all the families. Just a note also, I guess Gary and Carol are in BC at their son's graduation, so he'll be back in the office on Tuesday. And I guess my favorite announcement is number two. And Luca just walked in the back, so we're very excited about that. He was so excited that he woke me up twice Tuesday morning, once to pick up Sophia and once to tell us that he was born. Elizabeth had an announcement.
You'll notice there was no coffee in the foyer this Sunday. That's due to lack of volunteers. No one came forward to volunteer. So if you are interested in having this fellowship time throughout the summer months on the other two Sundays indicated in July and August, please let me know because we need volunteers to make it work. Thanks.
I'd like to also thank Hans Sawatsky for their leading us in Pelia this morning, as well as Trudy for her continual gifts. Thank you very much. Is there any sharing that anybody would like to do this morning?
Guess I should have just stayed up here. My name is Elizabeth, as you all know, and so I have something to share about our son, Jacob. So we spoke with a surgeon in Toronto finally this last week, and so we are going to Toronto this summer, and we're just working out the dates now. We've given several dates, so hopefully this next week we'll hear when we need to go, so please keep us in your prayers over the summer. Thanks.
Anyone else? Let's take time before God. I've got a short reading and I'll follow up with additional prayer. Keep going, my soul. Keep alert and press on. You cannot be a follower of Christ and stand still. When Satan tries to twist the meaning of what you say, look to God's word. Learn to discern. Let Jesus be your guide. When others require more of your time than you can give, know your sure foundations and put Christ and family first. When you feel tempted to be cross with the Church of God, remember it is Christ's body and you are part of it. When Christ gives you more to do than you've done before, fear nothing and offer him your heart and soul and strength. When you become excited by the glories of earthly success, give it back to the Lord. Give it all. No mere tithe is enough. Keep pressing on, my soul. The future always comes and may be found in Christ's arms, not wandering. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your loving hands in our lives. Today we pray for comfort for those who mourn. We pray for patience and healing for those who are in need of care. We pray for hope and resolution where there are conflicts at home or abroad. We pray for strength for all as we serve each other. We pray for forgiveness for all our shortcomings and when we lack faith. We pray for rest and renewal for those on vacation. And we rejoice with those who rejoice in new life or new or renewed relationships. We lift our innermost thoughts to you and ask for your continued blessing in this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you take your hymns again? Number 362. 362. Anybody young at heart, please come up for the children's story.
Oh, good. We've got a lot of kids today. I was wondering if we'd need to get some grown-ups to help us. We might still. We're going to do something a little different for Children's Story today. We're going to be a church, and our church is going to have a task. We're going to hold this blanket out, and we're going to keep this ball off the ground. All right, you with me?
Yeah.
All right, why don't we go up there, because we'll have a little bit more space. We'll spread out.
As we take the offering, let us sing number 383, 383, God Who's Giving. Scripture passage for this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. Just as a body, through one, the one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we all baptized by one Spirit, as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we're all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is made up of one part, not of one part, but many. Now, if the foot would say, because I am a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there would be no division in the body, but that its parts should be equal and have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, each part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. God bless you, Janet, as you share with us.
Thank you. Good morning. This last term I took a class on Paul and his letters, and we focused on Corinthians and Philippians, and so one of the class assignments was to prepare a sermon outline from a passage from one of those books, and I chose this passage. And along the way, I created an actual message. Now, this is, of course, a well-known and much-read passage, and it caught me this spring for a number of reasons. One is that I love metaphors. I love exploring them, playing around with the images that the words evoke. Metaphors, for me, are God language. I believe that they allow us to talk about things that we really can't fully explain or even really understand completely. And they allow us to catch glimpses of something that is beyond our grasp. Another reason this passage caught me is that it is about who we are as a church. And I have come again this past year especially to realize how much I love the church. Even though it is sometimes messy and broken, and not always even comfortable, it is also full of grace and blessing. The metaphor that Paul uses here for the church was not actually a new one. He didn't make it up himself. Roman leaders had used the image of the body to describe society. Of course, they used it especially when talking to those in the lower classes as a reminder that they were the lesser members and needed to keep their place so that everything worked properly. The beautiful thing about the way Paul uses this metaphor is that he flips it around. He uses the image of the body to remind the upper classes that the lower members have a unique and important role to play, and also to remind every member of their own value and the value of the others, regardless of social or spiritual rank. I'm going to read again verses 12 and 13. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. In this section of the letter, in chapter 12, Paul is addressing an issue of worship, specifically the use of spiritual gifts in worship. In the section from chapter 7 to chapter 15, it appears that Paul is dealing with several specific issues that the Corinthians had either written to him about or sent someone to ask him about. These are issues such as marriage and divorce, sex and celibacy, eating meat sacrificed to idols, and spiritual gifts. Some spiritual gifts apparently were considered more important than others. So Paul is here arguing that, yes, there are different types of spiritual gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit and are given to one body. The church, as the body of Christ, is marked by unity as well as diversity. One body, many parts. Paul begins with an emphasis on the unity of the church. We were all baptized with one Spirit into one body. Even while noting the different social backgrounds, and here he names Jews, Greeks, slaves, and free, that the members of the body had come from. These individual differences, these old social identities, had been rendered unimportant by the Holy Spirit in each one's baptism. They all now shared a new identity that trumped all the old ones. One commentator I read noted how remarkable this kind of unity really was in the first century. The Christian church was the only place where people of such varied backgrounds would gather and form an assembly. The church is the place where people gather and form a community who otherwise would have no reason to do so. So that got me thinking about the church today. Are we homogeneous? Are we all the same? Homogeneous is all different. Or are we heterogeneous? No, I've got it mixed up. Anyways, are we all the same or are we all different? Where do we come from? Look around you. Besides your faith and your commitment to God and to this church specifically, are there people here with whom you have nothing or little in common with? Probably. What are the things that we use to mark our identity? We don't talk about, or we're not, Jew or Greek, slave or free anymore, but what are we? What would normally divide us outside these walls? Is it our race, our level of income, age, marital status, gender? Paul here says that we have become one body. Whether we are rich or poor, old or young, married, widowed, divorced or single, what color our skin is, what language we speak at home, whether or not we eat vareniki or borscht, these things do not mark us or divide us anymore. Not here. Not in the body of Christ. And just as their ethnic and social backgrounds were washed away in their baptism, Paul wants the Corinthians to see that their spiritual gifts are also not grounds for division, because they're based in one Spirit and given in the context of one body. For the Corinthians, these gifts, which he lists just before this passage in verses 8 to 11, were healing, knowledge, faith, wisdom, miracle working, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpretation. What would we consider spiritual gifts or abilities in our church? What are some of the roles or functions that we fill in our church? I can think of preaching, leading worship, caregivers, administration, hospitality, prayer. I'm sure there are others you could think of. Do we let these gifts divide us? Or are they used for the common good? Do we value some of these gifts over others? The next section from verses 14 to 20. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. I've always loved this part, this section. I remember as a kid picturing a giant ear or a giant eye or a nose or a foot, not really able to do anything, just kind of sitting there looking silly. Paul throws out these absurd statements to show how necessary and vital diversity is to the church. Here he seems to be addressing those who don't think they're as important in the body, and he's assuring them of their value and the necessity of their part in the body. So Paul asks them to imagine, what if the whole body were an eye? What if everyone in the church had the gift of speaking in tongues, which was the important one in Corinth? Would that really be unity? What could the church not do if that were the case? What if each of us had the same gifts and abilities? What if we were all amazing prayer warriors? It is an important gift, I think. But who would plan and lead worship? Who would visit those in the hospital? We would get a lot of praying done, and that would be awesome. But who would teach Sunday school or help out in the community kitchen? I used to feel guilty that I didn't have the desire to go overseas and be a missionary somewhere. Somehow I thought that must be a super important part of the body. But I also knew that I was not that part. But that didn't, and it doesn't mean that I don't belong to the body. I'm just a different part. What if the whole church was made up of missionaries? What would we not be doing? And what about those who can no longer do as much? Maybe they are older, maybe they're sick, or maybe they never could do as much as someone else because of a disability. Do they ever wonder if they don't belong? And do those of us who are healthy and whole make them feel like they aren't important? Paul says we never cease being part of the body. Everyone is a part, and everyone has a purpose, a role to play, and a gift to offer. Verse 18 says, "But in fact, God has arranged it all just the way he wanted it to be." There's a plan to this body. Think for a little while about your own body. And some of you who are in the medical field will know more than I do. But think about the way it works, the complexity, the beauty of it. The human body is a living organism. It is one body, but think of all the different parts. It's not even just hands, feet, eyes, and ears. It's nerves, blood cells, organs, bones, muscles, hair, fat, blood vessels, on and on. Some body parts we don't even think about until we pull that muscle, raking the leaves, or stub that little toe. But each part serves a purpose in keeping the body functioning and able to do what it needs to do. Diversity is necessary. Without it, we would be helpless and somewhat absurd. No one is worthless or unimportant, and no one should envy or try to be like someone else. Paul goes on in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Just as we each can't say, "I don't belong," We also can't say, I don't need you. Here Paul is talking to those who have a high view of themselves and a low view of certain others. And he's reminding them that everyone is important to the body, even the parts that we think are weak or less honorable or even unpresentable. The gifts and the people who were being demeaned and disregarded in the Corinthian church were the very ones who needed to be affirmed. The Corinthians were assigning value to spiritual gifts, and therefore to people, based on human opinion. But Paul says appearances can be deceiving. Verse 24 and 25 read that God combined or mixed the members of the body in such a way that we take special care of those who normally wouldn't get that respect and honor. In this way, we are not divided or unequal. Our care for each other and valuing of each other builds unity just as it celebrates diversity. We need each other. A body is an interdependent system. Our differences should not lead to division, but to the care and valuing of one another, to unity. In fact, because we are all different, with different gifts and abilities, we need each other to do those things that we can't do on our own. And we need to work together to do things that none of us could do each individually. This interdependence means that we all suffer when one part suffers, and we all rejoice when one part is honored. Thinking again about your own bodies, what happens when you stub your little toe? For me, it tends to be a whole body experience. When we injure ourselves or we lose the use of a body part, the rest of the body has to compensate, and focus is given to that part which is suffering. On the other hand, when I get a haircut or a pedicure, honoring one small part of my body, my whole self feels different. It's a little bit of a silly analogy, but it's true. How have we, as a church body, suffered with each other? I think of grieving with those who have lost loved ones, caring for those going through treatments or undergoing surgery. Prayers, cards, and visits is usually what we read in the thank you notes in the bulletin. It's a way of suffering with, of having empathy. How have we rejoiced with those who are doing well, who have experienced blessing? We certainly do at weddings or at births or baptisms, as we celebrated a couple of weeks ago. How else do we rejoice with each other? We are the body of Christ, and each one of us is a part of that body. We are marked by unity, by diversity, and by interdependence. We often wonder how we can become more like this body. But it's interesting to note that Paul begins with an assumption that this is what we already are. The church is the body of Christ. Not because we are really good at working together all the time, but because of the work of the Holy Spirit. In some mysterious way, when we enter into a relationship with Christ, we also enter into a relationship with his body. In being one with Christ, we are automatically a part of the body. For me, this means that I can't have a private faith, a Jesus and me faith. Yes, my faith is personal, but it is also by definition communal. My gifts and abilities are not just for me to use for my own good, but for the good of the church, and through the church, hopefully the world. God created us to be in community. What can a pinky finger do on its own? How much more when it's connected to the whole hand with other fingers, to an arm, a shoulder, to the rest of the body? What happens to a coal or a piece of wood or whatever that's taken out of the fire? We spread out the fire when we want to put it out. It gets cold and they die. But when we gather them back together, we have heat again, we have life, and we have beauty. In using the image of the body, Paul is arguing that Christianity is fundamentally corporate or communal. The Corinthians were each thinking of themselves first, making sure that their gifts got noticed. And it affected their worship and their community. As Christians, we are not soloists first, but members of a choir. There are times and spaces for solos, but a group of soloists singing together is not the same as a choir. In a choir, each member is an important part, but only as they contribute to the harmony and unity of the song, as they blend together and as they follow the conductor. In a choir, it is not about being heard individually, but being heard corporately. Only together is the music made. We are the body of Christ. This is a truth, a mysterious reality of the church, that it is a unified, diverse, and interdependent organism. This truth leads us to questions, though. Are we living up to this reality? Are we letting our differences, whether social or ethnic, or in our giftedness or abilities, are we letting these differences divide us? Or are we valuing one another and caring for each other? Paul says that we all do belong, and we all do need each other. Let's not underestimate ourselves and what we have to offer. But let's also not dismiss or look down on what others might have to offer. A body is not a body without all its parts contributing and working together. A body part cannot do much of anything on its own if it's not connected to a body. Unity is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Diversity is also a gift of the Holy Spirit. And these are not at all mutually exclusive. We can only be one body if we are many parts. It is our interdependence that makes the whole thing work. The realization that we are not on our own, but part of a community that honors, respects, and values each person and each gift. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Amen.
Let us respond together in song number 304. There are many gifts, 304. Let us rise again. Song number 420. Have that ready for the closing song. Let us rise for a prayer and benediction. Lord God, we keep us close with our families, close to each other and close to you. Save us from the dangers of this world that seek to draw people apart. And grant us the grace to be loving in all our actions and words to each other. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Savior. And now, God, bless and keep us. May the very face of God shine upon us and be gracious to us. May God's presence embrace us and give us peace. Amen. 420.